Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. Pretty good weekend, I would suggest. Pretty good first impression of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Man, that was awesome, wasn't it? It was so cool. And I don't know, Noodles, I don't know if you have ever or have thought this. And hey, Jonas, how are you, by the way?
Hi, Ray.
I think I took for granted how much the fans mean to the game.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm looking at it, and I'm like, you know, since we were in junior, Noodles, like, every game we played, there were thousands and tens of thousands of people there. There was all, yep. It was always there, and then they're not. Yeah. And I was like, damn, I don't think I understood what it means to have the people and their passion and their craziness and all of that in the building. Because the Vegas in particular, and Florida games, it felt like they were in a football stadium. Like, it was awesome. And I you know, the guys were feeding off it. It was great stuff to watch.
It was so, you know, for me, I was taken back. I was jealous. I had all these range of emotions going through my body, because I was like, this is unbelievable. Like, I wish I was there. And then the crazy Jamie in me was like, would I be wearing a mask? Would I be wearing gloves? What would I do? You know, like, the crazy Jamie is like, oh, like, would I be sitting? Like, how would I react in that environment right now? Because, you know, we've been shut down here for 15 months.
Oh, you're talking about being a fan. I was thinking, oh, man, I can't believe I used to do this. I'd love to do it. And then the first guy got hit, and I'm like, fuck, are you kidding me?
Right. The players. The players. I think even just view it, like, I couldn't be in the building anyway. I'm in Toronto, right?
Right.
But just
viewing
experience, I thought, was elevated significantly. And I do think what is going to equal this all out is how connected we are to the Canadian series, right? Like, Leafs Habs is going to be awesome. It's going to be emotional for people up here. Same thing with Edmonton, Winnipeg, with or without fans. We've been through it. We're accustomed to it. But I don't think in any other year I would be so fired up to watch the other series south of the border. And I think what's dragging up my level of interest, which is still there, and it's significantly there because it's the playoffs, is that fan element. You know, like, you guys look at it as, wow, players, how cool would that be? I look at it
but
as
Hayes,
just a guy on the couch who's like, man, it's different. It feels different. It looks different. It sounds different.
Well, Ray and Noodles, you guys can speak to this. I can tell you, as, like, just walking in as a media person, it drains you when you get into the building and it's just empty. Like, it's a 20,000-seat place and there's no one in there. And I can imagine for a player, it's just, like, very jarring. They're probably used to it now, but it's not the same when you go onto the ice for the pregame warm-up and there's nobody. It's weird. Like, I don't know.
I've actually been quite impressed, even back to the bubble last year, guys, of how the guys have played at the level they've played when there's nothing there.
Yeah.
Like, I think of it like a, I mean, obviously it was more important and all that, but like a training camp scrimmage. Somebody scores, of course, we didn't have the horn going off, but like somebody scores and like there's nothing.
Yeah.
Like, there's a big hit, and all you hear is the guys, you know, hooting and hollering on the bench. I think I was just surprised with what a difference it all made, because the hockey yesterday, this weekend, was phenomenal.
I agree.
It was awesome to watch.
Do you think, go around the table here, do you think that Florida-Tampa game would have that much vitriol if there wasn't 9,000-10,000 people in there? Like, I think they legitimately hate each other and everything on the line, but don't you think the crowd adds a little bit extra to that jam?
I think it speeds it up. I think they probably would get there, but it speeds it up. Like right away, that thing was off the rails.
I know.
And those are the best games, right? Like, everybody's holding on by a thread to their composure. And then somebody loses it and takes a penalty, then there's another penalty, there's a couple of goals, there's another hit. Like, it's, I don't know, I think it accelerates it more than anything.
I totally agree, and I think we witnessed that in a couple of different games over the course of the weekend. And yesterday in particular, I saw this tweeted out, Stats by Stats had this out, that there were 17 goals scored in the Stanley Cup playoffs yesterday, every one of them either tied the game or put the Shooters team in front. That's the most goals scored on any single day in Stanley Cup playoff history in which every one was a game-tying or go-ahead goal. That probably helps, too.
Yeah.
In terms of the intensity and every game was close. You know, and lead changes, that is what makes a great sporting event. We can talk about everything possible, fans, talent, intensity. Lead changes means I don't know how this is going to play out, and my emotions are running wild here because I'm going up and down, up and down. And the Florida-Tampa game is a perfect example of that. Florida comes out, steals the lead early, and then Point ties it, and then Point steals it, or felt that way anyway, and you're like, what the hell just happened? What was that? And it was just incredible because of that part of the context, the fact that the games were that close and there were so many lead changes.
They were just, like you guys know I love goals. I mean the Vegas Minnesota game, like there's not many 0-0 games I'm entertained with. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Like that was, you know, I mean it looked like the game was going to be over early. You know, because Vegas, what they have, 20 shots in the first period, and Talbot hangs them in there, and then after that, like, if Fleury's not great, Minnesota wins that thing.
Yeah.
And he, like, how about the save he made on Kaprizov? Does he have a skeleton, Fleury? Like, it's like he just, like, Gumbies himself around in there. It's like it's amazing to watch, still at it, right? Like, that was another game that I was casually watching it, I guess, and then I'm just drawn into it.
Well, actually, Brian brought a great point up, and you just verified it. You know Cam Talbot got a shutout and made 40 saves, right?
Right.
Everything's like, about Fleury. Everything. Like, he lost the game to the other guy who had a shutout.
And who was, like, to your point, made 18 or 19 saves in the first period. The shots were, like, 18 or 19 to 6. And Talbot stands on his head. They're like, what do you think of Fleury's glove save?
Like,
it's so true. Like, Talbot was brilliant yesterday.
Talbot's down the other end doing jumping jacks. Hey, could somebody just notice me down here?
Right. Whenever you're ready, you can focus on me as well. But, yeah, it was a wild weekend. And we talked about, you know, where the Leafs come into play in terms of watching it over the course of the weekend. There's a couple of things that stood out to me. In the Tampa-Florida game in particular, at some point your big boys have got to just close it for you. Like, Point and Kucherov did it again yesterday. They picked up right where they left off. They were the two best forwards throughout the run last year. And Point in the third goes, I'm not letting this get away. And at some point, Matthews and Marner have to do that, like your best players. And it's not that they won't or aren't capable of it, but it has to happen. And also, I looked at the physicality of the game yesterday, the intensity of it all, and I think there's more of a discrepancy between these two teams, Toronto, Montreal, in terms of talent, maybe even in terms of expectation. Like, Florida finished ahead of Tampa in the standings. They're a good team. But I feel like as we get closer to this, there's going to be somewhat of a push externally. I don't know if it's going to happen internally, where the Leafs should just stay out of the after-the-whistle stuff, you know, just play your game, quote-unquote. I think they need to be proactive. I think you go out and be the aggressor. I think you go and hit. I think you know this time of year they're calling coincidental minors. If they punch you, punch them back. Like, don't
okay,
think.
So hey,
that'd be my stance.
In 1986, 100 years ago, I was in Hartford our first playoff year. We beat Quebec in the first round, lost to Montreal in Game 7 in overtime. The next year we won the division. And Quebec, we were playing them in the first round again. And they let it be known that they thought they could be physical with us. And I'll tell you, we showed them how tough we were because we were in the penalty box 100 times and they beat us in 6 games. You can't shy away, but you got to be who you are. Like, do you want Matthews running around throwing hits?
No, I don't need that. But I do want, like,
well,
if it's going to get intense, then
no,
you have to match.
Go score. Stick your nose in there. Get in the net. Like, don't get pushed to the outside. Dive inside the dots.
Yep.
That's tough. It's hard. Because if you try to, this is what I learned in that series. We tried to be something we weren't, and we took a bunch of retaliation penalties. We took a bunch of goofy roughing penalties, and they beat us.
Well, and Ray, toughness is what you're talking about. Toughness is William Nylander. He's not going to be tough by doing what Brian's saying. He's going to be tough by winning a battle.
Right. Well, I'm not suggesting starting a line brawl when the puck drops on Thursday. I'm saying, again, like coincidental minors get called a lot. We saw yesterday. Like the Barkov coincidental was ridiculous, quite frankly. But that's what I'm saying. Like if they're gonna pop you, pop them back.
Well,
don't sit there
early
and say, "Well, we'll beat you on the power play." Like I think over the course of the round, that's gonna get to you, and then you are gonna get flustered. Like if they're gonna try to play that game, and I don't know if Montreal will. I don't know how Montreal is gonna approach it, but I would suggest the intensity is gonna rise. I mean, you would know that, right? Like it just naturally gets there, and you got to kind of rise with it. And I think if you're at the forefront of it, or at least balanced, then you can scratch that off and say, hey, listen, we were right there with them in terms of whatever game you want to play. And then when it shakes out, we're better than you, so we're going to hammer
it
home.
But that's what they brought these guys in for.
Yeah.
Right? That's what Simmons is there for. Thornton to a certain extent, but Foligno, you've got Hyman.
Yep.
Bogosian plays. Those are what those guys, that's one of their assets they bring to the table. So they're going to play that way anyway, because that's part of their toolbox. For the other guys, I would want them to, you know, to acknowledge how tough the playoffs are. Here's the difference: they've already been through it, so they know it, as opposed to wonder about it. They have to know that Montreal is going to try to be really physical with them, even to the extent of Montreal's lineup that doesn't have Cole Caulfield in it. To me, it's like they're looking about how can they match up, how can they take away Toronto's top two lines, how can they grind those guys down. And Caulfield isn't going to start game one, it doesn't look like.
Yeah, that's surprising to me. I mean,
that's a lineup philosophy. Like,
right.
In my opinion, right. In my mind, it's reactive, not proactive, but that's the way they're going to choose to go about it, at least for the first game.
Yeah. I mean, I thought about that, too. I don't know how you guys feel. Like, I mean, they still have a couple days to start maneuvering things around. Like, I would have him in there personally, but I just don't know what the philosophy is. If they feel like he'd be overwhelmed, or you're going to try and establish physicality, all of that type of stuff. Like, there's no, you know, to me, you've got to find a way to put him in there, especially if your power play, even to put him in there for power play minutes. Like, that guy's it looks like he's going to be a hell of a player. Like, he looks like a special player. Now, you know, can he achieve that at 20 years old right now in his first taste? They probably want to protect him a little bit, but I'd throw him to the wolves and see how he fares.
But Noodles, I think that, honestly, I mean, this is just my opinion. I think the reason that doesn't happen is because they're looking at more of a defensive posture. They're worried about the matchups against against Matthews and Tavares' line, and Caulfield doesn't, that's not what he's there for. I think they might get into a point of the series that we see him where they say, you know what, we do need a little more, we need a little more juice, but it's not there, right? It's not there at the start. Their view has to be, and I'm just by the lineup, is that they want to grind this series down.
Right. Yeah, that's how they have to.
I think
they gotta
that's
play that.
Exactly what I understand the logic. It'll come down to Gallagher as well and Price, who I believe are playing today, right? They're in Laval today, which I think is a smart play. Like, I was a bit surprised by it, but get them a little bit of some game action, make sure they're feeling okay as much as possible. But, you know, if you want to play that style, if you want to grind, you're going to have Carey Price clearly playing at 100%. But you got to have Weber playing, and you got to have Gallagher. Those two are kind of going to lead the charge in that capacity.
Sure. You also need to know, now during the regular season, I just did a thing for the preview show, like during the regular season, Danault played Matthews 73 minutes straight up, and got outscored 3-2.
That's pretty good.
Like that, they need that type of closeness in that matchup, and so that's, I mean, that's one of the ways they're looking at it for sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. Like, if you're Montreal, you have to have that type of mindset. You know, take it to the ground. You know, get in the muck. Gotta, you know, play a little bit like Minnesota in 2000. We like us is just close the neutral zone up, frustrate top players, and hope that your goaltender can give you, and then special teams, like, you know, grind out wins. You're going to have to do that. The challenge is to what you're saying, Ray, is stay out of the muck if you're the Leafs. That way you can go on the power play. And I know the power play has been anemic, but it's got to be a difference maker. To be honest, that's the one thing I would circle. I know we're looking at Jack Campbell and you know, the uncertainty in net, but their power play has to get going. Special teams win in the playoffs. They're the difference in the playoffs.
Look at Tampa yesterday. Yeah,
put it this way. They might be fortunate that Montreal's power play is every bit as anemic.
Right. No, you're right.
Right, like eventually you got to untrack that thing, but, man, I'm not betting the house on it to get started, that's for sure.
What about Edmonton, Winnipeg? You know, I think we have a pretty good read on the philosophies of the Leafs and what we just talked about with Montreal and how they believe they have to approach it. What about that series and what you would expect the kind of elements of friction to turn out to be, you know, like where it could pop up in terms of X factors and breaking points and how the series could play out?
Well, I think the Jets have to be, you know, have to be really good, like have a really good forecheck. I think they need to play in Edmonton's zone, even if they're not scoring, but hold the puck down there. Make McDavid and Draisaitl chew up some minutes while they're chasing the puck around, or better yet, don't have it on their stick. They play, I've described them, their defense as kind of like a boxer that takes body blows. Like, they don't really stop anything. They don't really, like, break up and kill cycles. They just kind of take body blows, and Hellebuck is great, and, you know, and that's how they win on the defensive side. The problem with taking body blows from McDavid and Draisaitl is eventually they hurt. And, you know, this year, it's not like McDavid averaged 2 points a game. He got 2 points a game against the Jets.
Right.
In every game, he had at least two points. That meant, you know, obviously, the Jets started each game down 2-0. Like, how are you going to win against that? The whole focus is keeping McDavid and Draisaitl without the puck as much as you can.
Do you try and match, Ray? Like, do you try and do that third line? Because, like,
okay, the only problem with that, Noodles, then you know what happens, right, is McDavid's out there 24 minutes, and so Adam Lowry's tongue's hanging on the ground because he's chasing him around for that long, and you've got Scheifele sitting over there.
I think you go
10, 12 minutes with Lowry, you know, 7, 8 minutes with Scheifele, you know, 3 or 4 minutes with Stastny. Like, I think you got to use everybody in it, but to impress upon them, when you're out against him, we don't really care if you score. We're trying to break even.
Yeah. It's funny. I would almost, if I'm Winnipeg, I'd be watching some of the games the Habs played against Edmonton, where McDavid and Draisaitl were literally running around chasing that Dano and you know, punching Lekkonen in the head and taking penalties where Montreal was underneath their skin. And they would get away from their game.
Well, the one difference I would say, Noodles, to that, like, I hear you, and you're right, they did drive them crazy, is when they got into the zone, the one thing that Montreal's defense is big.
Right.
And, like, you run out of room in a hurry. Like, Edmondson is big and long, and Petrie is like that, and Weber's a giant, Sherratt's a big guy. So, like, they found a way to keep those big guys in the middle of the ice to push the play around, and then they just kept running into them and frustrating them. And Montreal did it as well as anybody.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Well, we'll find out in a couple of nights. We've got 3 more games tonight. Boston-Washington game 2. We're already into game 2. And Vancouver and Calgary have 2 games left for the regular season.
By the way, I guess I wasn't half paying attention, but when Vitasek went down in the Washington game, and they go over to the bench, I'm like, whoa, that's Craig Anderson.
Right.
Like, that's what Hayes said.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it.
Where has he been? And I'm like, that poor guy's been on the taxi squad all year. Yeah. What's he played, 2-3 games? He did great. He did great in game 1.
Got them the win. He held on. I mean, that's all you could ask for out of a situation like that. And I don't – is Samsonov – is he going? Because I know he got the go-ahead. Like, he's off the
COVID. I don't know. Are those guys in from curfew yet? Or, like, what's going on with
like,
those guys?
I'm not sure.
You know what's crazy about that? It's like Washington's had, like, a crazy year. Ovi and Kuznetsov and Samson, like those guys, they break protocol. They get suspended for four games. Ovi's been hurt for 10. Tom Wilson is a walking, billboard himself. He scores the first goal of the playoffs, fittingly.
Of course.
Like it just, and then again, Samsonov and Kuznetsov not available again. You're like, where the hell are these guys? It's, like, it's just,
even
it's
Malkin
crazy.
Not playing. I'm like, what is, it's yeah. tough to track everything, like with so many guys that are in and out and
right.
why they're playing, why they're not. Like it has been the most disjointed.
I don't know how it's going to work out, but like I think Washington's really good. But I look at their goalies, I'm like, oh my god, these guys are so young. And then one of them's not there again, and I'm like, or not again, but he wasn't there, and I'm like, how's this even going to work? Well, they got through one game.
Yeah.
Now they just push up the next one, right?
Yep.
It's and the fact of Chara, like just all these little great stories, Chara. 100 years in Boston, he plays his first game, against Boston.
Of course.
Like, perfect.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know. I thought the weekend was awesome.
Yeah. No, it's going to be a fun one moving forward. I mean, they set the tone beautifully. I think every game was compelling, and it should continue tonight and into the future, and we'll break it down again tomorrow at 5:05.
Talk to you then, boys. Have a good one.
There he is, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lean history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com.